I'm going to check tomorrow and see how many watched it. Because I'll be honest with you, we do this every service we have, but it's not the way to do church. If you shut in, you can't get out, you're sick, whatever, that's fine. But most people won't do this but a couple times. It's not the same as church. And so, because things are going on around the house, distracting. So pray for these folks at home that we'll get this done and get back in church. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. And I know there are some that watch faithfully, and I appreciate that. And we got a visitor tonight, so we got to be good. Got to be good. She said they closed her church down till April the 1st. Is that it? Till April the 1st. And Lord willing, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do it. And if I just have to preach to the camera next time, I'll do it. We just, there's something about church. Amen. Amen. Well, two or three. Amen. Matthew chapter 6. I want to talk to you tonight how to overcome these things. Right now, everybody's living in a state of anxiety. They're anxious. They don't know what they're anxious about. They really don't know if this is true, if it's not true. They've never experienced it. Most young people's never even experienced a good case of the flu. And us older ones, we used to get it every year until they came out with the flu shot, you know. And we'd lay there in the bed and sweat and cry and throw up and beg God to take us home, you know. And so this is another type of that, and they say it's worse because it attacks your lungs worse. But still, people are in a state of anxiety. They just don't know what to do. That woman hollered at me today when I went in that office. Stand back. Don't come any closer. Stop. And I was 9 feet from that woman. And she was behind a glass. And so people are just all wrapped up in this thing. But guess what? Jesus is coming one day, and wait until they see what happens after we leave. After he takes us out of here, can you imagine the anxiety and the pressure that's going to be poured on people? He's the only thing that holds it back now. See? So let's look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first. I didn't say that you don't look for something to eat. You don't look for something to wear. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's God want? How to live in his kingdom. And his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. All what things? Food, drink, clothing. All these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought. Don't worry about it. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Don't worry about it before it gets here. Man, I'm bad about looking forward to things. I'm just always expecting something bad, and then it don't happen. And I wasted all that worry. I could have held on to that worry for some other time. Verse 34, therefore take no thought for the morrow shall take thought of things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Why are we worrying about what's going to happen tomorrow? We got enough to worry about today. Amen. We're anxious enough today. They're saying, some schools, some out west already said, we're not going back this year. We're not going back to school. Now, my goodness, what you going to do with those kids from now and all the way through the summer? There's going to be some anxiety medicine poured out. I'll tell you that. These parents are going to go start raving mad. Well, my wife got this one friend, and she was trying to teach her kids at home, you know, trying to take care of them, and said one of them's already been expelled. And she's already spelled her own kid. Get out! She found out everything the teacher said about him was true. But look, these are trying times. We're in trying times. I mean, think about it. Now, us older folks growing up, we had a lot of trying times, but we didn't worry about it because we figured somebody else, mom and daddy, was going to take care of us. And now they're lining up to buy stuff. I went to Walmart yesterday to buy some lights that had been tore up out here. And when I went in, I said, I'm going to go through the garden center where there's no groceries. And then I'm going to get those lights down there, and I'm going to go across that back wall, because my wife called me while I was there and said, get 2 gallons of milk. And so I said, I'm going to go across that back wall back there, because all them crazy people's over at the groceries and up front trying to check out. So I'm going to go across that back wall where I don't have to encounter any zombies or anything, you know. So I went straight over there to milk, got 2 gallons of milk, and walked back out, and wasn't a problem at all. Wasn't a problem at all. I worried about it for nothing. And look, these people's buying up stuff and they're storing up stuff. And guess what? In our cabinets and in our freezers and in our refrigerators, there's probably enough food in there to last a month. Well, some of y'all looking at me kind of strange, like y'all don't do that. 6 months. 6 months, amen. Well, I don't know. Mama used to can stuff. We'd grow a garden. She'd make preserves. She'd can string beans. She'd can peas. And she'd make a big old thing of soup and canned soup, you know. And in the wintertime, that's what we ate off of. Amen. But now these people live day to day. And now that they're afraid they're going to be locked up in the house, they're worried about tomorrow because they're afraid they're not going to let them out of the house tomorrow. And the rest of us, we just... Clinton, you know what we ate for a snack on weeknights? Mama bought one pack of bologna, one pack of cheese. That was gone. That was on Friday, so that was gone by Monday. She bought one, might be something sweet, maybe a sweet cake thing, you know. That was gone by Monday. So during the week, Mama would be at work, and we'd go in there and go in the cabinets and get some crackers, saltine crackers. Well, we didn't have nothing to put on them, so we go in the refrigerator and get the mayonnaise out and put mayonnaise on them. Yeah. That's our snack. Look here. Don't make faces. You don't know how good that is when you're hungry. Yeah. And then, if we got real wild, we get some mustard and put on them. Yeah. Amen. Put mustard on. You give that to people now, they think you're crazy. Clint, you ever ate a mustard saltine cracker? Well, you don't know the blessings. You don't know the blessings. Mayonnaise, saltine crackers. And if it's real, if it's a good month, we might have a little bit of peanut butter left over we could splash on that thing, but that didn't usually happen. We'd eat that up pretty quick too. But anxiety, these people worry about everything. They worry about everything. They've been watching their own science fiction movies. You scroll across Hulu and Netflix and all that, and you'll see all these science fiction movies about the end of the world. You know, zombies, some disease come along, everybody turned into a flesh-eating zombie, brain-eating zombie. They starve death around here. And then other... And then I saw another one, some disease struck planet Earth from outer space and everybody turned into lizards. And then I saw another one, some disease come up out of the ground from the North Pole or somewhere and it killed everybody but two people on planet Earth. And then another one that killed everybody but one little town. They've been watching their own science fiction movies too much. Amen. That's what they've been doing. Whole generation raised on that junk. Amen. And you and I eat crackers and mustard. We ain't worried about it. But look, anxiety is the number one. Now listen to this. I looked this up. Of course, I look on the internet. Might be a lie. I don't know. Everything else seems to be nowadays. But anxiety is the number one prescription in America. Medicine for anxiety is the number one prescription in America. That's the truth. People take pills like crazy. Well, I'm nervous. Well, I'm nervous too. Go out there and work in the yard and you'll feel better. Get you a job. I mean, get you a job. You got too much time on your hands to worry. If you want to worry, wait till you're so tired you go to bed at night you can't worry. Amen. So I thought of these times, you know, that we're living in. And then I thought about this. Psalm 43, verse 5. Preacher, what do I get? What do I do when I'm anxious? Should I go to the doctor? Should I go down here to the psychiatrist? Most of them's crazy too. Psalm 43 verse 5 says this, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. Amen. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance. Amen. My God. They run around here with the poochy lip disease, old lips poked out and worry, wrinkles and everything else. Whatever happened to keep a stiff upper lip? Yeah. Just act like it's okay. You know, why does everybody have to have a countenance of sadness and despair and worry? Why don't we just fake it sometime? Yeah. Fake it. So I know it's bad, but I ain't letting everybody know it. I'm not letting the devil know what I'm going through because God's going to bring me out on the other side. Amen. I've told that story many times. Old Billy Kelly said, big old preacher, and he played the piano and wore a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, and he preached. Y'all remember Billy Kelly, don't you? Y'all remember Billy? He came Southside one time, but one of my heroes, and a camp meeting preacher. And Billy Kelly played, and he had that deep voice. He'd sing those old gospel songs, you know, Southern gospel. And he was preaching one night. I heard him say, he said, listen, I done told my wife, if we run out of food at the house, we're not going to let the devil know it. He said, I'm going to go down there to the grocery store. I'm going to buy a bottle of vinegar and a box of baking soda. And we're going to eat that baking soda and drink that vinegar. And we're going to blow up and die. And the devil will think we eat ourselves to death. I never would let him know we starved. Amen. Hey, keep a stiff upper lip. Hey, lift up your head. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Amen. Amen. That's what you do about anxiety. Sometimes you just got to ignore it and go on. And then look at this one. Look at Isaiah 41:10. I quote part of this one a lot when I go to see people, you know, and they're sick or having a hard time. Isaiah 41:10. What are you going to do when trying times come? What are you going to do when that anxiety comes? You know, Isaiah 41:10. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed. For I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. You don't have to fear when God's near. Amen.
Amen.
You don't have to fear when God's near. He'll protect you.
Amen.
He'll uphold you with his right hand of righteousness. Now, we all get anxious and we all get discouraged and we get worried, you know. But we need to go back and read this thing. Fear thou not.
Amen.
I'm with thee. Be not dismayed. I'm thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee.
Yes.
With my right hand of righteousness. Amen. Now, Jesus kind of said that. He said, you're in my hand. My hand's in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck you out.
Amen.
Now, child of God cannot be defeated unless we just let it happen.
Right.
Now, I've quit over and over and over. Most good pastors quit every Sunday night or Monday morning.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I went home throwing my Bible on the shelf before and said, I'm not preaching anymore. That's it. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of these people. I'm tired of the criticism. I'm tired of the attacks. I'm tired of the gossip and the backbiting. They won't move. They won't do anything. I quit and throw that Bible up on the shelf and Tuesday morning get it down and start all over again. That's what you have to do. You have to, yeah, I quit, but I'm starting right back because God's promised to take care of me. If it was up to us, we'd all quit. But thank God, we don't have to be anxious about this stuff. Don't fear, God is near. We'll put that on a sign somewhere. 1 Peter chapter 5. What do we do when we're anxious? 1 Peter chapter 5, if you will. Look at verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. You're not going to hear this on CNN. You're not even going to hear it on the Fox. By the way, have you ever noticed the Fox Network has the nastiest shows on it, but it's got the most conservative news? Why is that? Because they're playing both sides. They're making money off of both sides. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now, we just give it to God. We just give it to God. So, okay, God. Here's a care, and I'm worried about this, and I'm worried about that, and they tell me I'm going to die of some kind of disease, and the government's going to tell me I got to be locked up in my house, and I can't go to church, they're going to lock me up if I go to church. Hey, Lord, you take care of that. I can't handle that. Yes, sir. Hey, just give it to him. That's yours, Lord. You take it. You told me to do it. Now you go ahead. I've done all I can do. Amen. I can't heal me. I can't even keep me well. I put it on him.
Amen.
Me and my wife pray every day, Lord, give us health and give us wealth so we can serve you and others and not have to worry about those things. Amen.
Yes.
And look, we got to give it to God. That's all we can do. Now, God, I told him down here the other day, I said, Lord, you know I can't take the flu. I've had the flu and laid there and cried and begged you to kill me many times. I said, but you know if this was worse than that, I can't take it, Lord. So you'll just have to keep me well. You have to keep me well. If I'm going to serve you, Lord, you got to keep me well. I can't do this sick. And one time I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me I had diabetes, and he prescribed me those pills and told me to go get my blood tested and go do all this stuff. And I went to church. I got down to the altar. I said, Lord, I can't serve you with diabetes. I can't serve you with no feet. I can't serve you without hands. I can't serve you with a bad heart. I can't serve you with bad kidneys. Lord, please heal me so I can serve you. And then the next day, the doctor called me and said, Ron, you taking those pills? I said, yeah. He said, quit. Your blood come back good. I said, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
I went to the doctor last time I went, just a few months ago. My doctor, Dr. Tuttle, greatest doctor in this town. He'll sit down and talk with me, pray with me. And Dr. Tuttle, got a whole checkup. And Dr. Tuttle said, now, Ron, you can't be sick. We can't let you be sick. God uses you. God uses you, Ron. You can't be sick. Now, we're going to keep you well. He said, besides that, look at all the miracles he's already done for you. He said, you come in here with rheumatoid arthritis, and he got my hand, looked at it. He said, it's gone. God did that. That medicine they gave you couldn't have done that. All it would do is relieve the pain. He said, it's gone. God did that. He said, you hurt that spine, and I told you go get surgery. You didn't get surgery, and you're doing fine. He said, that's a miracle. God did that. You ought to tell people this stuff. He said, we thought you had diabetes, and God fixed that. God did that. You ought to tell people that, Ron. God works miracles in your life.
Yes.
You know why? I put it on him.
Amen.
I'm from Lancaster. I don't have much sense. I mean, I'm like it says, I don't know when to go in or when to go out or when to get up or when to sit down without him. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm about like one of them old cows you push around down there in that pasture. They'd just about walk off a cliff if you didn't stop them. Amen. They'd eat loco weed if you didn't stop them. Amen. And so I know some people who do. But Philippians chapter 4. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Most of you already know this one. Philippians chapter 4. Well, preacher, what I do when I'm anxious, I got all this anxiety, how do I overcome it? Well, the Word of God.
Yes.
It's the Word of God.
Yes.
I tell this, I tell God this. I say, God, now you said this, and I'll remind him of Scripture. I said, now, you're a God that can't lie.
That's right.
I remind him of that.
Amen.
And God, you promised me this. You said this, God. Now, if you don't do this, the devil's going to say, you're a liar, God. And here's one of those. Philippians chapter 4. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Or in other words, don't worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Go ahead and thank Him for it ahead of time. Let your requests be made known unto God. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Listen, and then look over. Let me get to the next. I just licked my finger. I'll probably get all kinds of stuff. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Amen.
He'll keep that anxiety away. He'll keep your mind if you go to Him. Amen. Now if you go to the doctor, He's going to give you more anxiety. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. I can't stand it when people give me bad news. I said, don't give me no, and they'll always do it right before I preach. I hate that. And whatsoever are a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, if you can praise God for it, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Well, that's enough to make a Presbyterian shout, ain't it, Gwen? Ain't it, Gwen? Methodist, I'm sorry, that's enough to make a Methodist shout. Now, we can conquer a lot of anxiety just by praise and thanksgiving.
Yes.
We sing that song, but we never sing it when we're in trouble. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings,
see what God has done.
Count your blessings,
name them one by one.
Count your many blessings,
see what God has done.
Oh, almost messed up the song. Listen. If we'll start praising God and thanking Him for what He's already done, what's coming don't look that bad. They don't know where He brought us from. If they knew where He brought us from, they'd be praising God. Amen. So why shouldn't we? See, we let the world intimidate us. We let people intimidate us. They give us lockjaw. They make us ashamed. They embarrass us. I tell you, sometimes I get on the elevator at the hospital. I did the other week. This black lady got on there with me after I got on, and it wouldn't go to the sixth floor, and she was going to the fourth floor. I said, there's something wrong with this thing. She said, something wrong with it? I said, yeah, it won't go to, I keep doing the sixth floor, it won't go to it, but it's going to your fourth floor. She said, what do you think's wrong? I said, I don't know, but let me tell you something. If it crashes, I'm ready to go. I said, I'm ready to go. I ain't scared. And she looked at me. She got off that elevator at fourth floor, buddy. Hey, man. I'll tell you how to get I get on those elevators, they'll be crowded with people. I'll tell you how to clear them off. Wait till that last one gets on as close as they can. Then when they get on, that thing starts moving, say, praise God! That next floor, every one of them will get off. But we ought to. We ought to praise God. We've let the world intimidate us. We ought not do that. They're the ones out there dying with no hope.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, we ought to conquer all that anxiety with praise and thanksgiving. And now, real quick, I'm running too slow here. Real quick, they're going to take me off television if I don't hurry up. Proverbs 16. What I do with anxiety? What do I do when I'm overcome with anxiety? Proverbs 16, verse 11. I knew it was a short sermon when I put it on the back of this. But that's usually my longest sermons. Psalm. Did I say Proverbs?
Yes.
I meant Psalms. I was just testing you. Psalms. That's close to Proverbs, ain't it? Palms. That's right next to Job and Tabitha. Tabitha. In the book of Moses. Let me ask you something while you turn there. Where was Moses on the ark when the lights went out? Moses wasn't on the ark. Noah was. All right, I'm just killing time. I see y'all turning pages. I'm trying to. All right, we're going to start reading. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Now, we'll always remember that his hand leads to life. It doesn't lead to destruction. And in his presence is where we get full, not partial, but full joy. And then we get pleasure when we invite him in on it. His presence. The best times I've ever had with the Lord were the most stressful times I ever had in my life. When my heart was broken.
Thank you, Father.
Or my mind was confused.
Thank you,
or I was in trouble. Or I was sick.
Thank you.
First time I experienced that, I had been saved less about a year, maybe a little less. A man named Wayne Henson, he worked at the Winn-Dixie for years and years. Wayne Henson is the man that took me in the prayer room and led me to Christ the day that I walked down and showed me how to be saved and prayed with me. Less than a year later, he walks by me before church starts, and I'm sitting right where I got saved, sixth pew on the left, somewhere over there. And he had a Winn-Dixie grocery bag that folded down about that high. Y'all remember Winn-Dixie?
Yeah.
You're old if you remember Winn-Dixie. But that thing was full of cassette tapes. I mean full, heavy. He said, Brother Ron, he called me Ronnie. Brother Ronnie, I want you to take these home and I want you to listen to them. He said, but I want you to do me one favor. I said, what? He said, I want you to pray before you plug it up, before you turn it on. He said, these will help you. So I took them home. I didn't think nothing about it. I put them over, you know, and went to work and I got sick. I got the flu or something and I ended up being in the bed for days. And I thought about those tapes. I got my tape player out. While I was laying in the bed, thought I was dying. I was listening to those tapes. And that's one of the best memories in my life. Though I was sick unto death, I felt like I felt those pleasures
yes.
come from God. And I'd lay there and cry. I'd just cry. And I wasn't crying about being sick. I was crying. The Spirit was moving on. And I'd never felt anything like that before in my life. And I was crying. Just God would come through those tapes. Dr. Jack Howells and Tom Malone and J. Harold Smith and Dr. Harold Seitler and old Oliver B. Green and man, just one great preacher after another. And I'd lay there and they'd preach. They'd preach on hell. I'd just cry. And they'd preach on heaven. I'd just cry. They'd preach. I'd cry and cry. But it was so, gave me so much peace while I was sick. And ever since then, you know, he's shown me the path of life. I don't always stay on that path like I ought to. I get off of it sometimes. But you know what? He'll always bring me back over there and he'll say, now this is the path you need to be on right here.
Yes.
And that's where I find my peace at, on that path. If I get off that path, I get anxious and worried and scared. Long as I'm following him. And then last but not least, listen. We need to get in his presence. We need to get in the closet. We need to get in the church. We need to get in the spirit where the path and the pleasures of God are. People get out, they get mad, they get out of church, and then they get ill and angry and critical and everything else. And it's hard to get them back in. And then there's one more I was going to read to you, Proverbs 16:7. I probably told you that one first. Proverbs 16:7. I want you to look at it. Did you know, whenever we get anxious, we ain't worried about nothing but ourselves.
That's right.
That's all we're doing. We're self-centered. We're selfish. We're all concerned about ourselves. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him.
Yes.
Look at verse 15. In the light of the king's countenance, that's King Jesus, is life. And his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. You know what we need to do? We need, while we're anxious, it talks about enemies up here, even his enemies, to be at peace with him. When our ways are pleasing the Lord. What we need to do, we need to serve others by serving him, and we'll get our eyes off ourselves, and anxiety will leave. Let me tell you something. There's people all over this town a lot worse off than you are. There's people all over this town lost, dying, going to hell, and they know it and would like to be saved. But they're like the Ethiopian eunuch, and they'll say, how can I accept some man guide me? There's people with broken hearts all over this town, broken lives, and they'd like some help. They just don't know where to turn, so they go to the doctor, and he gives them a pill. Or they go to the liquor store, and he gives them a bottle. Or they go to the drug dealer, and he gives them some powder. And it only makes it worse.
Yes.
But if, look, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. You know, all these years I've been living, trying to live for the Lord and trying to preach right and do right, and I've fallen, got up, and fallen, got up. But you know what? There's been many a times that God has made my enemies be at peace with me. And it really wasn't my enemies, they consider me their enemy. I don't have any enemies. Some consider me as their enemy. But God will make those people be at peace with you. For years and years and years, there's a woman, and she'd come to church and sit there like this and just and talk bad about me and backbite about and gossip about me and lie on me and lead people away from the church. And everybody knew it. And I didn't know what to do with her. I thought, well, Lord, maybe she'll get saved one day. But she didn't. And then I go back up to Independent. Then I end up over here. And my goodness, one day on John Street there was having revival. She did the same thing to Tony Green. And she came to revival because Tony Green was there. And after church, she just, oh, man, you couldn't believe how much she loved me and Tony Green. She just loved us to death. And then when we moved over here, she came over here with her family three or four times, brought visitors, put on Facebook. I was the only real Baptist preacher in town. She was my enemy. But now the Lord's made her at peace with me. I don't wish her any harm. I never have. But see, that's what that means. I'm just going to let her worry about that. I'm not going to worry about that. People say, you heard what so-and-so said about you? No, I don't care. Let them worry about that. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm trying to follow him. I'm trying to follow his way. And one day, I've had them come and apologize to me. And they'll do the same thing to you. So here's what you do. Don't worry about what people think about you.
Amen.
You follow him.
Amen.
You say, well, people won't like me. That's okay. You follow him. And in the end, you'll win, and they'll come tell you that you was a blessing, or that you, they'll ask you to pray for them. But you see, you can't be anxious all the time, and people respect what you call faith because they say you ain't got no faith because you worry about everything. You're anxious all the time. You ever heard this? Don't bother him. He might go off at any minute. And that's a sinner talking about a saint.
Yes.
There's something wrong with that saint. Anxiety.
Amen.
Now the sickness is going to come. And by the way, this one's going to be gone in a few months. There's another one coming.
Right. Yeah.
And then there's another one coming. Then there's another one coming. We live in a sin-cursed world. It's full of germs and viruses and everything else. And it's just by the grace of God, we're not dead already.
Amen.
So I'm not going to worry about it. Now, I'm going to be careful. I'm going to wash my hands. I don't like throwing up. I'd rather do anything than throw up. I'm going to wash my hands. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to stay clean. I always do. My mama taught me to do that anyway. I don't need the president to make a law for me to do that. If people are sick, I stay away from them. I don't need a law to tell me to do that. Anxiety. Let it go. Now, the worst anxiety you'll have is if you're not saved.
Right.
You'll go to bed at night and worry about if you died, you go to hell. And you'll try to drink it away, smoke it away, dope it away, whatever you do to try to get rid of that anxiety. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's no peace.
Right.
And there's nothing going to help that till you admit you're a sinner, call on the Lord, ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come in your heart and life and save you. And then all that stuff will go out the window.
Yes.
And it'll give you peace. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for your word. A lot of comfort in your word in these days, Lord. A lot of encouragement in your word. I wish people just read your word. Lord, I wish they'd quit trying to find the answer somewhere else. Here's all the answers. Jesus is the answer. He's the answer for everything. So help us, Lord. Give us faith. Help us live in these trying times as witnesses and testimonies of your saving grace, keeping grace, and your blessing grace. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses for thee. And then one day we'll get to heaven, we'll understand all this stuff. Until then, keep us at peace, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Get your songbook.